Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Football Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Lombardi, our GM, back on the East Coast. And Michael, we always love catching up with Tim Murray this time of the week to look ahead to the college football slate here. So he joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, does a great job on the network. Tim, welcome back to the program. You've been on fire with your picks, and I want to get to the big game of the week. I talked to Wes Reynolds yesterday. He is, like, his dander is up. He is fired up for his Indiana Hoosiers against Ohio State. If you don't like a side, are you going to look to the total? What style of game do you think we get?
Yeah, what a game we have, as we all predicted, right? A top five matchup between Indiana and Ohio State to start the year. And Wes Reynolds, he was on the podcast earlier this week. I got him riled up. He was not happy with the national narrative, guys, on his beloved Hoosiers there. You know, we did the podcast yesterday, Humans and I, and Humans, no surprise here, likes the dog. And we saw dog money come in. But to my surprise, guys, we saw over money come in, too. There was a bit of a correlation yesterday with Indiana and the over. And the way I anticipate this game to unfold here is for this to be a little bit of a slower game. You know, this week we get big news out of Columbus that their starting center, Seth McLaughlin, is going to be out for the year, torn Achilles. And I think this is not only big news for them this weekend, but for the long term, as they have aspirations to win the national championship. And I think this is a massive loss to them. They're already dealing with their left tackle being out, Simmons. So I think Indiana's going to throw some pressure the way of Will Howard on Saturday afternoon. And then on the flip side, guys, let's look at Indiana. You know, they played Michigan 2 weeks ago, and they really struggled to get going offense. Had just 246 yards of offense. So I think the way I envision this to be is a little bit more of a slugfest between these teams. I really trust in Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator for Ohio State. I think he's going to scheme it up against Indiana offense. And I'm not going to say it's going to be exactly like what we saw in Happy Valley, the 20-13 final with a couple of turnovers in the red zone and some poor play calling. I anticipate this to be a little bit higher scoring, but I played the under here when we started to see that movement up to 53.5. So we'll see if there's a correlation to dog and under. I know Wes and Matt and plenty of others would like the dog to be feisty here. You know, the last thing I'll mention here, guys, about this game, and if you anticipate a blowout, and I do not, but if you anticipate a blowout, I think there's a different way to attack it instead of just laying the number with Ohio State. I would split your unit however you want to bet this game. If you think Ohio State big, and I would take a little bit of Indiana to miss the playoff. Whether it's right or wrong, guys, if Indiana loses this game, I think the committee has kind of planted the seed on dropping teams decently. You think about Georgia. They lose to Ole Miss. Wasn't pretty. Dropped them 9 spots. BYU loses last Saturday night to Kansas. Drops them 8 spots. So Indiana, no wins in the top 25 currently. If they were to get blown out, I think they could drop decently. I think Tennessee could potentially juke them for that final playoff. So if you do think it's ugly, I don't, but if you do think it's going to be ugly, I think it's okay to attack with maybe a little bit of a juicy play on Indiana to miss the playoff.
And then, Tim, if say Ohio State wins this, then we get Ohio State, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. What's your feeling of how the committee is going to look at the winner of that? Will Oregon, because they lose the Big Ten championship, will they lose their number one? I mean, to me, it's almost unfair now. You've got to keep going. And these teams that have lost one game during the season that don't go to the championship game actually benefit.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Michael. Think about it this way. Let's just play out the scenario. Ohio State beats Indiana. They play Oregon. They beat Oregon. Oregon drops to the 5 seed because you have to have a conference championship under your belt in order to earn a bye. However, I'll throw this little nugget out there. Well, I'm not saying that Oregon or Ohio State don't want to win their conference championship. And I think there's a massive benefit to having a bye to New Year's Day. Think about the situation moving forward for the 5 seed. You got a home game against either the group of 5 champion, Boise State, more than likely maybe Temple. And then you win that game, it looks like you're going to face the Big 12 champ or vice versa. Maybe you face that Big 12 champ in the first round at home, and then you face a Boise State in the following round. So the way the bracket is currently setting up, it looks like, based off of projections, it does look like the 5 seed could have a really nice path to the semifinals. But, yeah, there's no doubt, guys. You lose that championship game, whether it's the SEC championship or it looks like the Big Ten championship, which may be the top 2 teams in the country, there could be that drop to the 5, and 2 weeks later, you're playing a game on your home field.
Love the analysis. Again, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber as of yet, you can have access to all of Tim's picks and all of our experts on the network with a Black Friday special. You sign up today, you get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now all the way through May 1st for only $60. So you're going to get daily best bets, unlimited access, exclusive betting splits data from DraftKings and Circa Sports. That is huge here. Premium analysis, 24/7 video access, all of our betting guides, our best bets, all the way through college football playoffs, the Super Bowl, and yes, even March Madness. So again, visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for our Black Friday special. Do it now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael, it is fascinating, that conversation with Tim. When you look at certain schools that you feel like the committee might want to knock down, and if, to Tim's point, Indiana looks bad against Ohio State, it could open the door to kind of move them out of the door. Do you think that politics, those conversations are going to take place based on the eye test of what we see in that Ohio State-Indiana game?
I can't predict what they do in that room. I really have no idea, but it wouldn't shock me because Indiana hasn't beaten any really team. I think I know Wes is going to get upset over this, but it's true. But I don't think they're going to get blown out. I mean, they are a good team. They really are. They play well. They've dominated some teams. I mean, Nebraska went in there thinking they were going to beat them, and they left there with a whooping. Same thing with Washington. Washington got physically beaten up in that game. So I think to me it's more about, you know, it's more about that they're going to play well than it is blown out, Dave.
I wonder this, Tim, when you look at Colorado and they're going to take on Kansas this week, to that point that we were just talking about with Michael about Indiana and the eye test, if Colorado loses, how does that affect their college football playoff hopes if they were to be upset by Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, for the Big 12 guys, it's all shaken down to you got to win your conference championship here, right? This is a spot where it is going to be a one-bid league. Colorado, early on in the year, getting blown out by Nebraska and then losing to Kansas State, you know, on their home field. You know, that's where it's basically been set up. It will be a one-bid league. Now, Colorado, everything's in front of them. This is a team that's now won 8 straight. They've covered, or they haven't won 8 straight. They've covered 8 straight. Excuse me, they lost to Kansas State in that stretch. But, you know, let's look at Kansas here real quickly. You know, I was on Kansas last week against BYU, and I'll be honest, that was a bit of a fortunate win and cover for Kansas, needing a fluky play off of a pooch punt from Jalen Daniels, the quarterback of Kansas, off a BYU player's face mask and a late stand. But, you know, Colorado, give them all the credit in the world. They've just continued to do their thing here. But I think this is going to be quite the challenge for the Buffs. You know, we know about Travis Hunter. We know about Shador. They're absolute superstars and deserve all the accolades that they've been receiving. But Kansas is a team that prior to the last 2 weeks, guys, where they beat Iowa State and then they beat BYU, it's one of the more snake-bitten teams in college football. They were 0-5 and one-score games. And, you know, I think this number is probably accurate. I loved Kansas last week. You know, now coming off of that win, I wasn't overly impressed by Kansas on the road against BYU. I liked what I saw defensively, especially at the cornerback position. But I do expect Kansas to be able to have some success running the football with Devin Neal, running the football with Jalen Daniels. And I think this is just going to be a phenomenal football game. You see a high total of 59. Remember, not a true home game for Kansas, though. All of their home games are off campus this year due to renovations. So this game will be actually played at Arrowhead Stadium. So that's worth noting. You know, it's not a true home field situation there for the Jayhawks. But I still like them here. Catching a three. Make sure you get the three, not the 2.5. But I think Kansas absolutely has a real chance to win this game outright and continue the utter chaos in that Big 12 conference.
I think we've got time for one more. And if we do, let me ask you.
I'm sorry, Dave. Yeah, I wasn't sure we did.
If we can sneak one in, you know what I'm going to ask, Michael. I'm going to ask about Syracuse and UConn, the game of the week. Are you going against my Orange again?
All right. So I know you guys think I have this personal vendetta against your beloved Orange up there in upstate New York. But, Dave, you guys had a huge win last week. Woo! You go out to Cal. You're a double-digit dog. You win outright. You know, you're flying high. Next week, look ahead line. You're catching double digits. The disrespect against Miami. You're not focused for UConn. Come on, this isn't Danny Hurley coming in. This is Jim Mora Jr. And I just say this. I think the situation is really brutal for Syracuse. You know, you get this random non-conference game. You're laying double digits. And UConn's good, man. 7-3 on the year. Jim Mora Jr. has his squad coming off a bye. And I'll give you guys a little bit of a homework assignment. Go watch Jim Mora Jr. and his post-game press conference the last time UConn played a ACC team against Wake Forest. He's going to have his boys fired up. Give me the double digits with the Huskies up at the Dome on Saturday morning.
He was not happy about that. I remember that presser well. By the way, I'd be more excited if it was Jim Calhoun against Jim Boeheim. Tim, you're the best. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Tim.
Great stuff from Tim Murray joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line. When we come back, we're going to get to your smooth bet of the week and also what's on your mind. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Football Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Michael Lombardi, our GM, back on the East Coast. And, Michael, we always love catching up with Tim Murray this time of the week to look ahead to the college football slate here. So he joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, does a great job on the network. Tim, welcome back to the program. You've been on fire with your picks. And I want to get to the big game of the week. I talked to Wes Reynolds yesterday. He is like his dander is up. He is fired up for his Indiana Hoosiers against Ohio State. If you don't like a side, are you going to look to the total? What style of game do you think we get?
Yeah, what a game we have, as we all predicted, right? A top five matchup between Indiana and Ohio State to start the year. And Wes Reynolds, he was on the podcast earlier this week. I got him riled up. He was not happy with the national narrative, guys, on his beloved Hoosiers there. You know, we did the podcast yesterday, Humans and I, and Humans, no surprise here, likes the dog. And we saw dog money come in. But to my surprise, guys, we saw over money come in, too. There was a bit of a correlation yesterday with Indiana and the over. And the way I anticipate this game to unfold here is for this to be a little bit of a slower game. You know, this week we get big news out of Columbus that their starting center, Seth McLaughlin, is going to be out for the year, torn Achilles. And I think this is not only big news for them this weekend, but for the long term, as they have aspirations to win the national championship. And I think this is a massive loss to them. They're already dealing with their left tackle being out, Simmons. So I think Indiana's going to throw some pressure the way of Will Howard on Saturday afternoon. And then on the flip side, guys, let's look at Indiana. You know, they played Michigan 2 weeks ago, and they really struggled to get going offense. Had just 246 yards of offense. So I think the way I envision this to be is a little bit more of a slugfest between these teams. I really trust in Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator for Ohio State. I think he's going to scheme it up against his Indiana offense. And I'm not going to say it's going to be exactly like what we saw in Happy Valley, the 20-13 final with a couple of turnovers in the red zone and some poor play calling. I anticipate this to be a little bit higher scoring, but I played the under here when we started to see that movement up to 53.5. So we'll see if there's a correlation to dog and under. I know Wes and Matt and plenty of others would like the dog to be feisty here. You know, the last thing I'll mention here, guys, about this game, and if you anticipate a blowout, and I do not, but if you anticipate a blowout, I think there's a different way to attack it instead of just laying the number with Ohio State. I would split your unit however you want to bet this game. If you think Ohio State was big, and I would take a little bit of Indiana to miss the playoff. Whether it's right or wrong, guys, if Indiana loses this game, I think the committee has kind of planted the seed on dropping teams decently. You think about Georgia. They lose to Ole Miss, wasn't pretty, dropped them 9 spots. BYU loses last Saturday night to Kansas, drops them 8 spots. So Indiana, no win in the top 25 currently. If they were to get blown out, I think they could drop decently. I think Tennessee could potentially juke them for that final playoff. So if you do think it's ugly, which I don't, but if you do think it's going to be ugly, I think it's a way to attack with maybe a little bit of a juicy play on Indiana to miss the playoff.
And then, Tim, if say Ohio State wins this, then we get Ohio State, Oregon in the Big Ten championship game. What's your feeling of how the committee is going to look at the winner of that? Will Oregon, because they lose the Big Ten championship, will they lose their number one? I mean, to me, it's almost unfair now. You've got to keep going. And these teams that have lost one game during the season that don't go to the championship game actually benefit.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Michael. Think about it this way. Let's just play out the scenario. Ohio State beats Indiana. They play Oregon. They beat Oregon. Oregon drops to the 5 seed because you have to have a conference championship under your belt in order to earn a bye. However, I'll throw this little nugget out there. Well, I'm not saying that Oregon or Ohio State don't want to win their conference championship. And I think there's a massive benefit to having a bye to New Year's Day. Think about the situation moving forward for the 5 seed. You got a home game against either the Group of 5 champion, Boise State, more than likely maybe Temple. And then you win that game, it looks like you're going to face the Big 12 champ or vice versa. Maybe you face that Big 12 champ in the first round at home, and then you face a Boise State in the following round. So the way the bracket is currently setting up, it looks like, based off of projections, it does look like the 5 seed could have a really nice path to the semifinals. But, yeah, there's no doubt, guys. You lose that championship game, whether it's the championship or it looks like the Big Ten championship, which may be the top two teams in the country, there could be that drop to the 5, and 2 weeks later, you're playing a game on your home field.
Love the analysis. Again, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber as of yet, you can have access to all of Tim's picks and all of our experts on the network with a Black Friday special. You sign up today, you get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now all the way through May 1st for only $60. So you're going to get daily best bets, unlimited access, exclusive betting splits data from DraftKings and Circa Sports. That is huge here. Premium analysis, 24/7 video access, all of our betting guides, our best bets, all the way through college football playoffs, the Super Bowl, and yes, even March Madness. So again, visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up for our Black Friday special. Do it now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Michael, it is fascinating, that conversation with Tim. When you look at certain schools that you feel like the committee might want to knock down, and if, to Tim's point, Indiana looks bad against Ohio State, it could open the door to kind of move them out of the door. Do you think that politics, those conversations are going to take place based on the eye test of what we see in that Ohio State-Indiana game?
I can't predict what they do in that room. I really have no idea, but it wouldn't shock me because Indiana hasn't beaten any really team. I think I know Wes is going to get upset over this, but it's true. But I don't think they're going to get blown out. I mean, they are a good team. They really are. They play well. They've dominated some teams. I mean, Nebraska went in there thinking they were going to beat them, and they left there with a whooping. Same thing with Washington. Washington got physically beaten up in that game. So I think to me it's more about, you know, it's more about that they're going to play well than it is blown out, Dave.
I wonder this, Tim, when you look at Colorado and they're going to take on Kansas this week, to that point that we were just talking about with Michael about Indiana and the eye test, if Colorado loses, how does that affect their college football playoff hopes if they were to be upset by Kansas?
Yeah, I mean, for the Big 12 guys, it's all shaken down to you got to win your conference championship here, right? This is a spot where it is going to be a one-bid league. Colorado, early on in the year, getting blown out by Nebraska and then losing to Kansas State, you know, on their home field. You know, that's where it's basically been set up. It will be a one-bid league. Now, Colorado, everything's in front of them. This is a team that's now won eight straight. They've covered – they haven't won eight straight. They've covered eight straight. Excuse me. They lost to Kansas State in that stretch. But, you know, let's look at Kansas here real quickly. You know, I was on Kansas last week against BYU, and I'll be honest, that was a bit of a fortunate win and cover for Kansas, needing a fluky play off of a pooch punt from Jalen Daniels, the quarterback of Kansas, off a BYU player's face mask and a late stand. But, you know, Colorado, give them all the credit in the world. They've just continued to do their thing here. But I think this is going to be quite the challenge for the Buffs. You know, we know about Travis Hunter. We know about Shador. They're absolute superstars and deserve all the accolades that they've been receiving. But Kansas is a team that prior to the last 2 weeks, guys, where they beat Iowa State and then they beat BYU, it's one of the more snake-bitten teams in college football. They were 0-5 and one score games. And, you know, I think this number is probably accurate. I loved Kansas last week. You know, now coming off of that win, I wasn't overly impressed by Kansas on the road against BYU. I liked what I saw defensively, especially at the cornerback position. But I do expect Kansas to be able to have some success running the football with Devin Neal, running the football with Jalen Daniels. And I think this is just going to be a phenomenal football game. You see a high total of 59. Remember, not a true home game for Kansas, though. All of their home games are off campus this year due to renovations. So this game will be actually played at Arrowhead Stadium. So that's worth noting. You know, it's not a true home field situation there for the Jayhawks, but I still like them here. Catching a three, make sure you get the three, not the 2.5. But I think Kansas absolutely has a real chance to win this game outright and continue the utter chaos in that Big 12 conference.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on the Football Friday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi with you. Tim Murray, great stuff in the last segment talking college football. Next, we're going to talk a little No Way, No Doubt. And at the end of the show, Michael, I got to get what's on your mind today. And it might not necessarily be football related, but there's still some football ties in there before we say goodbye in this edition of the Lombardi Line. But Michael, it is time to get to our Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. Now, the Smooth Bet of the Week is presented by Larceny Wheated Bourbon. Lock in a win and seize tonight, Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wise. So, with that, Michael, and you've been, I don't want to put pressure on you. You're 2-0. You've been nailing this Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week the last couple of weeks, and really kind of no sweats either. What do you see this week as the Smooth Bet of the Week?
You know, I really like the Ravens, and I liked them before last night's game, but I like them a lot this week because they know that if they win, they're right back in the ability to win the North. And I like the fact that Lamar in 3-point games is 25-6 against the spread. Mm. And so I think to me, this is we're going to see Lamar on the carpet against a Charger defense that hasn't really experienced anything like this Raven offense. And then conversely, when you look at the breakdown, what do the Chargers want to do? They want to run the ball. The Ravens, you can't really run the ball. They're going to have to put the ball in Herbert's hands, which he's played very well over the last few weeks, but they're going to have to throw the ball a lot more in this game. Obviously, there's a tremendous rivalry here. Greg Roman got fired by the Ravens. He's the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. I think it's going to be a close game, and I'm worried about Tucker's inability to kick field goals. You know, he was 1-for-5 outside of 50 last year, and he hasn't been good this year, but it's a dome game. I just think, to me, Lamar coming off a loss is 4-0 ATS, right? And so I think, to me, I'm going to play that, and I think that's just too many offensive weapons on a good field. I think it's the Ravens' game here.
Michael, I want to talk about that dynamic that you mentioned with Greg Roman, because this is brother on brother, right? And we know Jack is the football architect of the Harbaugh family. And I don't know what Thanksgiving is going to be like or when they're going to get together. How does John fire Greg and then Jim hires Greg? Like, those conversations have to exist, right? Why is one man's trash another man's treasure?
Yeah, but I think what you see with what Jim did was he hired Mark Trestman too. So he knows Greg's not great in the passing game, although Greg would never admit that. But he knows Greg's not great in terms of designing it. So he hired Trestman to help along with that. He built a staff around. He understands Roman's strengths, which is very good run game, and he added to it. And I think that when Roman was in Buffalo, when Roman was in Baltimore, his inability to come up with a very creative pro passing game became his downfall. And I'm sure that John was pushed into a corner by the management. Look, we got to be better offensively. And even though he likes Roman, he had to make a decision that most head coaches have to make, right? They've got to make hard decisions, and this is a decision we have to make. But that didn't mean there's not a lot of positives about Greg. There certainly are. But there's also the negatives, and Jim, I think, by hiring other people around Greg, compensated for that.
How do you that X's and O's when it's brother against brother? How does that play? Does it change anything? I mean, obviously they know each other's tendencies, and you know from studying any coach's tendencies. But when it's your brother, I mean, you know each other inherently what they want to do. Does that change anything in that cat and mouse game?
You know, I think to me, you know your brother really well. John's come out and said, look, Jim's been kicking my butt almost all my life, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I think to me you understand it. But I think this is a game more about your team than it is about his team, right? They're both physically and mentally tough teams. Both teams aren't going to go away. Both teams are going to play to the bitter end. It'll be a close game. But I think to me – that you got to go with the quarterback who can do the unusual, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think to me, you know, with Jim's biggest challenges, and you heard him talk about it this week about, you know, don't fall for the rat poison. Don't let people keep patting you on the back. Whereas the Ravens are coming off a very bitter loss, right? They're disappointed in how they played last week against Pittsburgh. They had opportunities to win that game. They didn't. People think now they can't win on the road. They lost in Cleveland. They lost in Pittsburgh. They're not a good road team. I think this will be the best they play. I really do. And I think that they'll be able to limit this Charger passing game, which doesn't have great skill in it. Quentin Johnson's starting to play much better for them. But, you know, they got to take away Ladd McConkey, who's another receiver. But I think, to me, they can do that. And I think Baltimore can run the football. You know, the Chargers stop you from running. So, but this is a different kind of run game than they're used to seeing.
So that's why the Ravens -2.5 is the Larceny Smooth Bet of the week. If you're feeling lucky, put your money and Larceny Wheated Bourbon where your mouth is. Whether you're enjoying sipping it straight or mixing it in a cocktail, the true pros know Larceny raises the stakes in flavor with every single pour. It won double gold at the 2024 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. Don't gamble with what's in your glass. Enjoy smoother sips no matter the spread, and seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at LarcenyBourbon.com. The VEASAN Lombardi Line, of course, is presented to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely and drink wisely as well. Another game with a lot of high stakes is going to be played in the Pacific Northwest. Arizona is now a one-point dog to Seattle. Seattle has flipped to the favorites here. Most of the books out there. Here at Circuit, it is a pick'em. So again, by book, you might get a point either way, depending on which side you like. Michael, I got to be transparent here. I made a play last night after I didn't think that over was going to hit in the Steeler-Browns game. And when it did, it felt like free money to me, right? So I doubled up and I played a little 6-1 on Seattle to win the NFC West. And part of the handicap is they got to win this game. And now at a pick'em, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a good price for a game that's right there as a coin flip. They got two of the next three against Arizona. Do you like that wager, and do you like their chances to beat Arizona on Sunday?
Well, I mean, look, they've got to stop Arizona from running the football, right? And I think, to me, when you look at Kyler Murray's career And he's had, you know, when he plays in bad weather, and it's going to be in the 40s and rain and drizzle, it's going to be Pacific Northwest weather. He has struggled. I mean, when he plays in November and December, he hasn't been the same player that he was earlier in the season. And I think, to me, this is a game Mike McDonald's going to have to control him in the pocket, not let him escape, keep him from beating him with his movement. And I think Geno's going to have to play better at home. I mean, Geno's 3-10 against the spread at home. It's the worst mark for any quarterback in the league. His three covers have come against Skylar Thompson, Josh Dobbs, and Andy Dalton. Think about that, right? About that for a second. So, to me, I think that's going to be the key to this game is can they play effectively? Look, this Cardinal defense, we know, is not great. They play hard. They play tough, right? But all the things that happen is because they're controlling the football with their offense. And I think that's something that Seattle's really going to have to step up. They did a better job against the 49er run game. But if Seattle can run the ball, if Arizona runs the ball, if James Conner gets going, it's going to be a long day for Seattle.
You see why the Cardinals are odds on right now, -$1.30 to win the division. Because, again, coupled with that Sunday night game for the Rams, their dogs at home against the Eagles. We see the Niners 3-point underdogs against the Packers. If those things play out that way and Arizona gets the win, they might have a stranglehold on this division. So I can see the other side of it. But Seattle, it's right there in front of you with two of the next three against Arizona. We mentioned Sam Darnold for the Vikings. With that foot, he was back at practice as a full participant. They've got the Bears on Sunday. I don't know where the Bears' heads are at these days, Michael, with two devastating losses. Of course, the first one in D.C., then last week the blocked field goal against Green Bay. Could you look to the Bears' side taking the 3.5, or do you feel like the Vikings are winning games on the road and not even playing their best football?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, this question, I think you have to boil it down to this. Can Caleb Williams handle pressure? Because he's going to get pressure. And how does this offensive line react? We've saw all year he struggled with pressure. You know, the Packers really didn't put a lot. He ran the ball 8 times, I think, for 70 yards in the Packer game last week. Can he duplicate that? And can this Bear defense play better? I mean, all offseason, all we heard about from the Chicago faithful was how great this Bears defense was. They try to make it like it was the 85 Bears. They're not. You know, they lack defensive linemen. Sweat's a good player, but they need more. And, you know, they keep drafting receivers. Why not, right? So I think this will be a challenge. Look, we think the weather – you know, could be a factor in this game a little bit. I think you got to take a look at that as it goes, as we get close up to game time, because we know that it's going to be, you know, they think it may be no precipitation, but we know how the weather changes in November here with winds around 10 miles an hour in the game.
Very quickly, one sleepy game, it feels like. The Chiefs coming off their first loss of the year last week against Buffalo. They're going to stay on the road down in Carolina. Panthers getting 11 at home. They're playing a little bit better, quiet as kept here for the Panthers. They do have 3 wins, which might surprise some people. Is this a tricky spot for Kansas City, or if the Chiefs are who we know them to be, they put the wood to the Panthers?
I think they put the wood. I mean, how did the Panthers score? I mean, how did the Panthers score more than 10? You know, I think here's the question. If you think the Panthers score 14, right? Do you think the Chiefs can, which is really 25, do you think the Chiefs can score 28? I think that's how you have to handle this.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if you're looking that way, then you'd look to the over if you can think the Panthers can score at least 2 touchdowns. All right, when we come back, No Way or No Doubt, that is next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are continuing the Friday football conversation. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And it is that time of the week, Michael, where we get to play the game, No Way or No Doubt.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts.
No doubts. No doubt in my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, No Way or No Doubt.
Love the animation. Okay, Michael, let's start off with the game of the week. We've been talking about it all week. It's the Packers and the 49ers. This is up to 3 now with some of this injury news with the Niners. Nick Bosa, is he going to go? Brock Purdy, what's going on with him? If the Niners do lose this game to the Packers on Sunday, they will miss
the playoffs. Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt?
No doubt they will. I think to me it's really hard. Then they have to go back to Buffalo next week. I mean, look, this is the problem. I mean, we've talked about it. You know, it's hard coming off a Super Bowl loss. It's the season's really long. They're not the same team. They're trying. They're working their tails off. But Debo's not the same play. Kittle's been hurt. Now we know Brock Purdy didn't practice yesterday. So there's a lot of things going on. And the strength of their team, and I don't care what Pro Football Focus has them as the best defensive unit in football. That's not true.
No.
Their defensive front, if they don't have Bosa, they're not the same team. They don't have Hargrave. He got hurt this year. They don't have Chase Young. They don't have Armstead. They don't have any of their players from their defense. They miss Greenlaw, who's still hurt from the Super Bowl, right? And so it's a challenge. I mean, it's really a challenge for them. It doesn't mean, you know, that's why you tend to appreciate what the Patriots did and all the winning that they were able to accumulate and what the Chiefs are doing, the consistency. It's hard to be consistent in the NFL because of injuries and because of all the things that happen. And look, they're going to have to figure this out. They've got certain players that they paid a lot of money to that aren't playing to the level they need them to.
That schedule is brutal in the right column here. And again, if you're looking at it with all that red and green, it looks like a Christmas tree with all those wins and losses scattered back, forth, back, forth. So the Niners,
You know, and here's the thing, Dave. Here's the thing. I mean, other than the Chief game, right, you know, and maybe the Viking game to a degree, but they had chances in that game. You know, they've got three wins on that schedule that the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams should be wins in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, this team shouldn't be 5-5. This team should be 8-2. They really should.
It's very similar to Cincinnati. They gave away a lot of games early. It's hard to get those games back late. Okay, we got a lot of dogs of 7 or more points this weekend.
Yeah.
You've got, like, the Colts. You've got the Panthers against the Chiefs, the Patriots against the Dolphins, Titans against the Texans, even the Cowboys getting double digits against the Commander. Michael Lombardi, at least one of those dogs will win outright on Sunday. No way or no doubt?
You know, I would say no doubt here. I think there could be an upset. You know, I'm not saying it's the Colts or the Patriots. You know, I think the Titans game, you know, I don't ever want to go to that, but I think it's always concerning that you when you play a divisional opponent, it's not quite the AFC North, but to me, they're always close. But look, the thing that I wrote this morning for Visa Online later today is there's such a disparity between the goods and the bad teams that these underdogs don't really look like they don't look like, oh, wow. Like last night, we felt like just by numbers only,
yes,
that the Browns had a chance +3.5, and they won outright, right? Only because of the AFC North and the unpredictability that goes on in the divisional games. But I have no faith in Tennessee playing good. I have no faith in New England playing good in Miami. They haven't been able to beat Miami in a long time down there. And then, of course, the Colts. I think, to me, you want to take the Colts and lay the 7.5, but are you sure that's a good move?
I'm right there with you. I think it's a no doubt as well. We always get one of those games that we don't quite expect, and we kind of expected it, to your point about the Browns, but maybe one of those big dogs could be biting on Sunday. By the way, if you have not done so yet, Black Friday special. It is upon us. You get everything VSiN has to offer all the way through May 1st for just $60. That's it. So, again, check it out now all the way through. Obviously, the college football playoffs, Super Bowl, March Madness, VSiN.com/subscribe. Black Friday special now for just $60. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be a part of the Giants' future. Doesn't look like it. Before we ask the question, I want you to hear what Daniel Jones had to say yesterday about his future with the G-Men.
The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true, and I'm extremely grateful to the Mara and Tisch families for the chance to play here. There have been some great times, but of course, we all wish there had been more of those. I take full responsibility for my part in not bringing more wins. No one wanted to win more games worse than me, and I gave everything I had on the field and in my preparation. Of course, this season has been disappointing for all. And of course, I wish I could have done more. I'm 100% accountable for my part. I did not play well enough consistently enough to help the team get the results. The reality of the NFL is it's hard to win games and requires consistent performance from everyone involved. We didn't do that well enough, so the idea to change something happens, and I understand.
Well, he said a lot of things there, Mike, when he said he wrote it down because he wanted to make sure he got across what he wanted to say. This is a tough question to ask.
Yeah.
But not that he's played his last game as a starting quarterback with the Giants, but no way or no doubt that Daniel Jones has started his last game in the NFL as a starting quarterback.
Well, no way that will happen because we'll see. Look, we'll see. He'll go somewhere else. Somebody will rejuvenate his career. He could go out to San Francisco and, you know, and have to play in games, and Kyle could make him into a good player. I mean, I think to me, Daniel Jones's problem is A, the supporting cast around him, and B, that somebody has to get him to play faster. And they haven't done a really good job of protecting him. We know that. But to me, I would never say no way on him starting another game. I mean, he's proven that he can do some things well. It's just that they haven't tailored the team. It's not his fault. They gave him $40 million. Mm. Right, I said it at the time. It creates a bad atmosphere in the locker room. It's the disease of me. You paid a quarterback. That's not the reason you won 9 games that year. He needs Barkley. He needs other – but what he needs more than anything is a powerful run game. And I don't think his career is over. I've never been a huge Daniel Jones fan, but I've been more critical of how they've built the team around him, thinking, oh, it's all about skill players. I mean, Joe Shane's talked about all he needed were skill players. You know, he needed offensive linemen to help him. And then, of course, he drafts a receiver in the first round because he thinks he signed Runyon. He thinks he signed Luminor, and that's going to fix his line. What are we doing here?
Well said. Let's go to the other side of the city. Is it really our same building? But Aaron Rodgers.
No, it's further west.
It's further west.
They're out in Florham Park. Okay, so neither of them are in the city. This is Florham Park.
Everything's just these things are misnamed there, New York, New Jersey. Aaron Rodgers, rather, is going to be 41 December of this year. We know he's under contract next year with the Jets. It does have a rather substantial cap hit of $23.5 million. No way or no doubt that Aaron Rodgers will be a starting quarterback anywhere in the NFL in 2025.
I think no way. I think, look, he's got that $35 million option bonus, you know, so they're going to have to pick that up. And there's going to be so many changes in New York. And look, let's face it, I think the Jets are primed to get a high draft pick. And they're going to want to get on with their, you know, I don't think Aaron wants to be a placeholder. Mm. You know, I don't think Aaron wants to be that. So, I mean, then where does he go? Where does he end up going? I think that becomes a question mark.
It's fascinating to think that could Rodgers be done? Daniel Jones looks like he's done changing of the quarterbacks in New York, New Jersey. Okay, this is what I was getting to earlier, Michael. No way or no doubt that the winner of Arizona and Seattle, which is basically a pick 'em, that winner will win the NFC West.
No way. I think it's too early to declare a winner. You know, we're not in the election cycle here. We still need votes to count here, David. I don't think you can do that. I know you want that ticket to come true for you, and you're pushing it through, but I don't see that one.
Count all legal votes. Just vote Seattle, everybody. Despite missing 4 games, Mike Evans will eclipse 1,000 yards receiving for the 11th straight season because he's back against the Giants. No way or no doubt that Evans keeps that really good run going.
Yeah, I think there's no question he's going to go into. I mean, look, he's the main receiver here. They're going to get him the ball, and they do a good job of getting the ball.
He seems like when he's back in, that offense starts to click again for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Let me sneak in one more. That the lowest scoring game is going to be in the Windy City of Chicago at Soldier Field. So no way or no doubt, Vikings-Bears, if you're looking for points, you've come to the wrong place.
You know, I would say no doubt. I think that has the propensity, but I think to me, you know, the Tennessee team could be a low-scoring affair, with even though Houston's not a great offensive team right now. We have to kind of forget about that, so... Yeah, I think it probably, on paper, it looks like it. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, I think it's got a good chance with that win. But I wouldn't be surprised that Giants and Buccaneers games are a real clunker as well for offensive output there. Okay, when we come back, we'll get to our best bets and also what's on your mind, America. Stick around for that. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.